at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The latest U.S. Census Bureau data released today reports that Texas saw a larger numeric growth in its Hispanic population than any other state in the country between July of 2015 and July of 2016. Peter Rosella is a demographer with the Census Bureau, and he says Hispanic population growth across the nation might not be due to immigration.
For the nation, what we were seeing for the Hispanic population is that it grew due to natural increase, and that's the difference between births and deaths, by 840,000. So that means there were 840,000 more births than there were deaths for the Hispanic population nationally.
He says even though Texas had the largest numeric increase of Hispanics, the Asian population is actually growing at a faster rate.
So in Texas, the Asian population is smaller than the Hispanic population, but it's growing more than twice as fast. So between 2015 and 2016, the Asian population grew by 4.8% to reach 1.5 million. And to put that in context, the Hispanic population grew by 2.2% during that same time period.
And the reason behind that growth? Immigration. One of the masters of Texas architecture died this morning. Frank Welch was 90. And RNC's Jerome Weeks reports he designed some of Dallas's most refined yet simple homes.
In Houston in 1956, Frank Welch became a protege of O'Neill Ford. Ford was the influential architect who merged modernism with Texas' own country ranch traditions of wood and stone. Welch followed these principles and his own inclinations for natural light and the flat West Texas landscape, which he considered beautiful. In 1985, he moved his firm to Dallas from Midland. Frank Welch and Associates designed the Lamplighter School in Dallas and the Episcopal Church of Reconciliation in San Antonio. But Welch will be best remembered for his houses, including the Dillon House off the Katy Trail. In particular, a home near Midland known as the Birthday exemplified his style and made him famous in 1964. The home's striking minimalism was bold for the time, yet it also beautifully suits the setting, a bare, windswept bluff 100 feet above the surrounding countryside. 2 years ago, Welch published his memoir called On Becoming an Architect. He talked with Chris Boyd on Think about the house called The Birthday.
It was bone simple. I got lumber for the project from a bankrupt lumberyard in Midland. And all the stone came from the site. So you could understand it just looking at it. You knew how it was built. And I think that was what was important to people that loved it so.
Welch will be buried in Midland alongside his wife Catherine and his son Baker. He's survived by two daughters. A memorial service will be held in Dallas in a few weeks. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
This week, the king of Saudi Arabia replaced the country's crown prince with his son, Prince Mohammed bin Salman. At 31, Salman is 50 years younger than the monarch he will one day replace. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Manal Asharif, a women's rights activist from Saudi Arabia, about what this means for the country.
I'm happy, finally, someone in the leadership younger than me. We are 60% under the age of 25 and 80% of the population under the age of 40. People in the leadership are three times our majority. That created this huge gap of understanding. And Mohammed bin Salman, from the start of his vision 2030, when I went through it and I met a lot of people who work for him, I really believed in it. There are a lot of people are skeptical about the vision. But this is a visionary. Visionaries usually see things that others don't see. I'm very happy. For the first time, I really believe in one of the leadership is fully committed to moving the country away from the addiction to oil, which is responsible for 93% of our revenue. And that's wrong, really wrong.
Manal Asharif is the author of Daring to Drive, A Saudi Woman's Awakening. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10. And you can subscribe to our podcast at think.kera.org. Food photography, beautifully lit and impeccably styled, is everywhere thanks to Instagram and the hundreds of cookbooks released each year. In this week's Artist Spotlight, RNC's Hadi Mwangi discovers that there's a lot that goes into setting up those mouthwatering photos.
Inside a kitchen in a Dallas photo studio, hot oil crackles as Brussels sprouts and onion rings fall into a deep fryer. Nearby, several racks of ribs are being prepared.
So what we've done is trim the bones up so that you can see the bones, and then we've kind of par-bake them. And so right now I'm about to season them and do the sauce so they look delicious.
That's Angela Young. She used to be a chef, Now, she's a food stylist.
Some of the people I work with are publishers. I've worked with Little Brown, DiCapo, DK Publishing. I've worked with Food & Wine, Food Network Magazine. And I've also done a lot of commercial clients. I've worked with McDonald's, Frito-Lay, Cargill.
Today, TGI Fridays is her client. She's dressing up those ribs for a summer advertising campaign. But she only partially cooks them, so the meat keeps its shape and doesn't fall off the bone. Then she pulls out the blowtorch.
These ribs are grilled in the restaurant, so I'm just adding a little bit of char. And then I'm also going to grill mark these.
Young travels with a tall, rolling toolbox packed with different sized tweezers, chisels, needles, and scissors. To add those grill marks she mentioned, she selects six long chisels and heats them over an open flame. When the chisels touch the meat, the hot steel almost glows. The ribs are ready for their close-up, and Young sizes up the onion rings. She's fried a bag of them, but will only choose six of the most photogenic. She spends about 20 minutes carefully planting crumbs around them. Then she turns to the Brussels sprouts.
I guess this is the part where the art comes in. So I will take a couple of the Brussels sprouts that are cut in half and show the cut side, which will read really well. And I might add some leaves in there.
Young uses tweezers to pull forward the greenest leaves. The shot needs more color. It's meticulous, but it's all in a day's work. Young's interest in food started at an early age. Chinese family traditions, like eating zongzu, which are kind of like Chinese tamales, helped to spark her interest.
I grew up in a family where food was really important. It's how I think we share our love. Like, grandmother would always send you home with, like, little packages of food. And we grew up cooking together. So I think I've always had that love of food and a passion for food.
Young's father, Ka Young, an award-winning commercial photographer, introduced her to food styling.
So when I was little, I used to go to his studio and I would see like beautiful plates of food and desserts, and like I was never allowed to touch it or eat it. And so it was, you know, when you're a kid, like you're so intrigued by that.
By her early 20s, Young was living in New Orleans and working for Susan Spicer, a well-known chef.
My very first job there was as the greens washer, and I washed salad greens all day long for about a month. And so I just kind of went from there, and I worked every station.
Eventually, she studied at a prestigious French cooking school. That led to jobs in Michelin star restaurants.
We got to work with really beautiful ingredients. The food was amazing. He worked with the best produce. So it was really wonderful to be able to see how they prepare it. So it was the most difficult experience, but I also felt like I learned the most.
But after a decade, she decided to return home to Dallas. The life of a chef is tough. Now she ignores taste and simply focuses on how her creations look.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically care of makeup for food.
She sees her work everywhere. And though it's no longer on the table, she loves seeing it on the menu. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Interest in seeing Angela Young's work? Head over to Art and Seek. You can view photos of the Spotlight artist's work and a Q&A about food styling. And coming up tomorrow morning on Morning Edition, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram got its first new editor in nearly two decades this week, a 36-year-old woman from Colorado. Lauren Gustis sits down with KERA's Rick Holter for this week's Friday Conversation. That's at 8:22 tomorrow on Morning Edition. A heat advisory is in effect for most of the listening area until 7 tomorrow night. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies expected this evening, low around 75. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a high near 97. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 60% chance for storms with a low around 73. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.